Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So here we are, Porky. On the record, goes from strength to strength.
Yes.
All is very well. I'm told that we're going to be on Spotify very soon.
Is that right?
Yeah. So not only can you get the new podcast on the record on iTunes, not only can you get it on various other platforms if you're not a member of the Apple family,
right?
But you'll be able to now get it from Spotify.
Wow.
Which is brilliant.
Not
Spotify,
bad.
Of course, is not something you have in your house, is it?
Spotify?
Yeah.
Well, I could have.
You could have it.
I have access to the technology.
Well, you do have.
We have the technology. That's a $6 million man, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How old is that?
Well, probably about 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
$6 million man these days would probably cost $6 billion. Dollars.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'd be $6 billion. I mean,
yeah,
the idea
exactly,
is $6 million.
Yeah.
I mean, $6 million doesn't even buy you.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Know, what does it buy you? It doesn't even buy you a decent footballer.
No, you know, his left eye could kill you in those days.
That's right. What was his name? Yeah. Steve Austin.
Steve Austin, that's right, yeah. In fact, he was the same guy. He married a very, very attractive...
Did he not marry Farrah Fawcett Majors?
Farrah Fawcett Majors, that's
he
the
did.
Deal. Yeah, exactly,
because
yeah.
it was Lee Majors, that was his
Lee
name.
Lee Majors.
And she became Farrah Fawcett Majors.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And before he did $6 million man, he was a cowboy, wasn't he?
I think he was.
He was.
That's right. Lee Majors?
Lee Majors, yeah.
Was he?
Was he in Bonanza?
No.
High Chaparral?
He was not, no.
Something like that.
No, no, no.
He was in something
definitely
like that.
Was not in High Chaparral.
But he was something
Do you
like
know
that.
The guy that was in the High Chaparral, the older guy?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Big John.
Not Big John.
No, Big John.
No, not Big John. His brother.
Oh,
who was the kind of grizzled looking one.
Oh, that's right.
What was his name? The one that wore the leather waistcoat.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Right?
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Blue Boy.
No, no, Blue Boy was his son.
He was his son. No, but this guy was his brother.
It was Leaf.
This guy was his brother who always looked as if he wanted to shag his wife. You know, the dark, the very nice.
Well, listen, what I could never understand about the High Chaparral was right. So there's this remote farm in New Mexico.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been attacked by Indians all the time.
Right.
It's been attacked by other cattle.
North American, Native Americans.
Yeah, cattle rustlers all the time.
Yeah.
There's one woman amongst 40 cowboys.
And she's half Mexican.
And she's half Mexican, very beautiful,
very
with black hair.
Yeah. Mm.
And old Big John goes away on cattle drives.
Yeah.
Wasn't Big John worried that two of the other cowboys in in the chuck house there, you know,
might
poach into the house one night and offer Victoria a little bit of sort of horizontal refreshment, you know?
Father. Well, that's why I thought that guy, the brother, who always wore a leather jacket, jacket and a leather sort of waistcoat,
that's
might
right.
be the guy to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe they called him Big John for a reason, right?
well,
so nobody else was interested.
No, come on, that's
however,
a bit harsh,
but the
harsh.
Reason I was going to mention this guy was he used to live in Hampstead. I used to see him walking around in Hampstead, He used to come into Louis, you know, the place where I used to work as a kid. And he would walk around, not wearing a leather waistcoat, but he was the bloke from the High Chaparral. I could never get over it. I was like, what's he doing living here?
Amazing,
I don't know why he lived in Hampstead, but anyway, can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name,
was it
Bourne?
Bert or something?
Or Bourne, it was something like Big M with B, Bourne. Not Blue Boy.
Yeah, something like that.
Right, okay. Now then, I tell you what, I had a bottle of beer delivered to me by Beer 52 just recently.
Did you?
And
well,
I have
one
to say,
bottle. So you didn't get a whole case?
Well, I got a whole case, but what I'm saying is, I took the first bottle and thought, this is good.
Yeah.
Free case worth £24,
it's craft
by the way,
beer,
is available in this craft beer situation. You want to tell me about it?
Yeah, well, craft beer is really interesting. It's a lot of bars now that just sell craft beer.
Yeah.
So it's to forget about all the kind of chemically produced beers.
That's right.
I'm a fan of real ale. I drink a lot of real ale.
Yeah,
they do a lot of things from IP. PAs, the dark porters, they do stouts as well. You can basically order whatever you want and get it delivered to your house.
That's right.
And it's like a subscription thing. thing, right? Yeah. But don't worry if you don't like it, because if you don't like it, you can just get out the subscription right. and say, I don't want it. But the thing about Beer 52 is they are offering now a free case, basically, if you sign up with them at www.beer52.com.
Yeah.
Basically, you claim your free case. You have to pay postage and packing, which is normal. Well, that's obvious. Get a free case of beer.
Yes.
What could be better?
Absolutely fantastic. Do you think that the quality of beer that you drink makes you more attractive to the opposite sex? You
what?
Know? Bearing in mind, I'm completely heterosexual.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the amount of beer you drink can sometimes have an effect on how you see members of the opposite
I'm not sure
sex.
About that, but I'm
but we don't talk about beer goggles, do we?
No, but I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, you've got a big pint of lager in front of you and it's a big brand lager and it's a bit gassy and all that. Uh-huh. I prefer to look a bit cooler these days and a bit smoother.
I've noticed that about you.
And I look cooler and smoother, mate, when I'm drinking one of these bottles. Okay. And they go down very well indeed.
Listen, there's absolutely no reason not to look cool. You go to beer52.com,
yep.
claim your free case, and like I said, if you don't fancy subscribing and signing up to getting more beer every month, then you just unsubscribe and it'll
absolutely. But it's fantastic, anyway. We love talking about beer. Now, listen, mate, I want to talk about beer, and of course, I just said you, does it make you more attractive to women?
Yes.
Have you seen this latest great theory about how to get on better with women when it comes to the bedroom situation?
What do you mean? What theory is this you're talking about?
Well, it's a new theory that I found from one of my medical journals. No. One of my medical journals.
Medical journals.
Yes,
really?
And what you do is to
first of all make a million pounds.
No.
Second, buy Rolls Royce.
No. To speed the night on.
Oh, yeah.
This latest theory, and this is absolutely serious.
Yeah.
What you do is now you actually the lady you're with, you electrocute her.
What?
You
that doesn't sound like a good idea.
No, you do. You give
what
her
you electrocute
her. What you do is you give a electric zap on the ankle, right?
With
a special device, right. Like a cattle prod type thing.
Cattle prod. You think you should be carrying one of these around and going out on a date?
No. But I mean, you know, if you invite somebody back to your home, you happen to have a cattle prod in the corner or something like that. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. If you happen to live in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house.
No, I'm absolutely certain.
No.
A man called Tim Bruns, who is a biomedical engineering expert,
right?
And this research has been going on at the University of Michigan.
Michigan.
We know Michigan very well, don't we?
Very well, yeah.
He says we're really hopeful this could help many individuals who suffer with sexual dysfunction.
What do you mean?
Okay.
Like what?
Well, what's sexual dysfunction? Well, it stimulates you.
Well, it stimulates a woman, or it stimulates you. Do you get a kick out of electrocuting a woman?
No, it's not that. What happens is there's a key nerve in the body,
right?
And it runs from the soles of the feet to the bottom of the spine.
Yeah.
Mostly accessible at the ankle.
Does that mean that's why some women like having their toes sucked?
Well, I don't know about that. I'm not into that sort of thing.
Well, did you not cover the Fergie toe-sucking saga?
Well, I did years ago. But that part of the ankle can be zapped with electricity.
Why?
A small electric shock, you know, with a tiny needle type...
a needle? Like, what if you get it wrong?
Electricity.
Well, what if you get it wrong?
Well, you don't get it wrong,
a massive shock.
You don't get it wrong.
You know, she does, in fact, die from an electric shock.
No. It's a mild thing, but, I mean, what it does is...
Well, is this done with their consent, or is it done like...
Of course it is. Of course it is. It stimulates.
So how are you going to bring that up in a conversation?
Well,
so, hello, darling. I tell you what, when we get back to my place later on, I'll pour you a nice glass of wine.
No, you wouldn't.
And then I'm going to put your foot in my lap.
No.
And I'm going to fire some electricity through it.
No, you wouldn't do that.
Well,
how
do you do it then?
Well, it would emerge in the as the ambience of the night sort of built up and you got closer together.
No, at no point during the courting process will you have an excuse to fire an electric charge through a woman's foot.
No, it's a mild electric stimulation, you know, a little electric stimulation.
No, I'm not buying it.
Listen, talking about taking people home, I've got an amazing statistic.
What do you mean
taking
people home?
Well, you know, people
when's
go
the last
home
time
together.
You took anyone home?
No, well, people get home together, don't they? Kind of
well, you haven't done it.
I'm going to ask you
when
a question.
When's the last time you took somebody home?
We can't get into that because I want to ask you a question.
All right, okay.
How many people do you think live in caves in China?
Caves? In China?
In China.
Where there are, 2 billion people living now, right?
Well, there's about 1.5 billion.
Isn't it 2 billion now? Because, I mean, India's now a
might
billion.
Might be.
So if you figure that there's 2 billion people living in China, I would say at least 50 million are in caves.
Well, funny you say that. There's 30 million live in caves.
That's not bad,
China.
Is it? That's a pretty good guess.
No, no, yeah. Because
that's only the ones they know about.
Well, yeah, that's right. When I was first asked this question, I said, oh, I don't know, I suppose 150,000. I didn't know there were a lot of caves in China.
Well, of course there are caves in China.
Because China hasn't got a great coastline, really, has it?
What are you talking about? Of course it's got massive coastline.
It's got massive coastline,
have
yeah,
you not seen the map of North Korea, right?
Oh, yeah, I see.
And the South Korean Peninsula, right? One of the reasons that it's so governed by China and what China thinks is because China's right next to it.
Yes, that's right.
So well, the Sea of Japan, right, which comes down into the Pacific,
yes,
that's all Chinese coastline. Where
that's
do
all
you
Chinese
think,
coastline, yeah, it's true.
What's
yeah.
the name of that Portuguese-ish type place in China?
Macau.
Macau.
Macau,
that's
right.
On the coast.
Yeah. No, that's right, it is, yeah. It? Now, what I was going to say to you is the economy has grown so rapidly in China that there's not enough houses for people to live in.
Really?
So
a bit like here, then?
A bit like here, you're absolutely right. So they've gone to the coast and they start living in caves.
Right.
Now, this has become...
Caves?
Caves, yeah, they live in caves.
I don't believe you.
No, I'm telling you, Mike, 30 million people in China live in caves. Now, get this, because the Chinese...
Why do you think they're all on the coast, though? Why wouldn't they be inland caves?
You can't have inland caves.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
Have you ever been to Cheddar Gorge?
Yeah, but that's one cave in the whole of Devon.
No, it's a massive collection of caves, right? Inland, nowhere near the sea.
Yes, but you can't exactly nip into a cave in Cheddar Gorge, get your head down for the night, nip out again, and get the bus to work.
You can't
because they're about like 5,000 feet down or something like that.
But also they're run by the Cheddar Gorge community.
Yeah, well, that's
so
right. Yeah, but anyway, in China, so people have moved out to the coast to try and find somewhere to live, and now you won't believe it. There are Chinese slum landlords who rent out caves.
I see an opportunity here for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you not thought about this? You know, well enough, in Hastings, they've actually got some caves in the in the cliffs.
Right, okay.
And in fact, they've turned one of them into a place called the Smugglers, right?
Okay.
And it's where you get, it's like a museum.
Yes.
But it's a massive, because they used to sleep there, apparently, during the Second World War.
Who?
The people who were hiding from the Germans.
What, in Hastings?
Yes.
But there weren't any Germans in Hastings.
No, but they were dropping fucking bombs on the place, right?
It was like
an air raid shelter.
So you're talking about people who were protecting themselves from the Blitz.
Yeah, exactly. Because there were planes flying over the English Channel all the time, dropping bombs, right?
They were, yeah.
And the Germans bombed quite a lot of Hastings, okay? And they've got pictures and everything of when it was an air raid shelter. It was a hospital at one point as well. But it's quite a deep cave.
Yeah.
Going backwards into from the sort of chalk front.
Yeah, I see.
Like
Dover,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But it's now a museum.
Do you know why
the
Germans dropped a load of bombs on Hastings?
Because they were probably dropping them as they were leaving, right?
Well, you're absolutely right. What used to happen is that the Luftwaffe would come over to hit London.
For you English Tommies, the war is over.
The war is over, that's right, yeah. So anyway, the Germans would have won the war had they stuck to the original policy of bombing RAF airfields in Kent.
Yeah.
And that's where Hastings is, in Sussex,
next to Kent.
So they used to come over. And if they'd have kept bombing them, then the RAF would have been out of business.
Because they couldn't get their planes in.
But at the last minute, they suddenly decided...
Hitler suddenly decided he wanted to bomb London.
No, the fat guy Goring. It was the fat guy Goring. You know, the fat guy used to wear a white suit.
Did you see that story this week, by the way, about Goebbels' family? Very weird story.
Oh, very odd indeed,
I didn't really understand it.
Yeah, well, come to that in a minute. But Goring, the fat guy in the white suit, who was a very...
Are you sure he was fat?
Oh, massively fat. He was obese, and he had a very strange lifestyle.
Yeah,
he used to invite all sorts of strange people. To come
nice
and stay
people.
With him over the weekend and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So anyway, the last moment, because he couldn't rub out the RAF, he said, I'll tell you what, we'll turn our attention to London.
Uh-huh.
The RAF were delighted because then the East End got bombed, so that was a bit of a problem with the...
Well, the people that lived there didn't enjoy
the Blitz,
it much,
they didn't enjoy it, but it gave the RAF time to recover their airfields.
I met Al Geezer on the bus the other day, funny enough, who told me that he was alive during the war. He was a child during the Second World War.
Well, he must be about 102.
He was pretty old, because it was one of those weird situations, right, where I was sitting on the bus, I was going to work.
Yeah,
and this old bloke sits down next to me, and I was looking at my phone, because I was reading stories, before I go in.
Yes,
and he suddenly pipes up with, "Excuse me,
in the war?
Can you get emails on that?"
Yeah,
and I went, "Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about getting one of them." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Okay." It's very unusual for anyone to talk to you on the bus.
Yeah, well, so he's obviously a nutter.
Well, no, he was just an old guy. And then we started talking about it's all different around here now. You know, when I was a boy. And he told me all these stories about the Blitz. It was quite interesting.
Well, he must have been 90.
He was probably 90 something.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had a very nice chat with him. It was very informative.
That's very good.
And he talks about don't be so dismissive of your elders. Okay. Because so, he apparently turned out that there was a children's hospital quite nearby, and he said whenever it really got bad, we'd go in the basement of there.
Well, of course, save
the
children.
You know, I can't imagine what that was like.
No, you can't imagine.
You can't.
Well, my mother used to get bombed in Birkenhead.
She kept missing her though, didn't they?
No, that's very nice. Thank you very much. But the Luftwaffe used to bomb Birkenhead because Camelhead Shipyard used to build the
Nobody
British
could tell
warships.
The difference, after they bombed it from before.
Oh,
it looks exactly the same.
That's very nice. Isn't it? Thank you very much indeed.
Well, yeah.
So anyway, the Luftwaffe bombs would come over to bomb the airfield.
Yeah.
If there was a fog and they couldn't drop them,
right.
they were told to turn back.
Mm.
But the thing is, you cannot land a Stuka bomber.
Stuka?
Yeah, with the...
Well, they're not the fighter jet planes.
The bigger planes that the Luftwaffe had were the Messerschmitt 180s.
Yeah, that's right.
And you couldn't land a Messerschmitt bomber with all the bombs, because if you did, it would blow up on landing.
Why didn't they just drop them in the sea?
They didn't. They dropped them as soon as they could, and they turned round because of the fuel capacity.
Yes.
And they used to drop them over Hastings, because Hastings is on the coast.
Yeah.
No, that's right, that's right.
It must have been terrifying, though.
Yeah, well, it must have been quite terrifying.
Yeah.
But anyway,
how do we get to this subject anyway? The
caves. Because of the caves in China. Right. And now it's a thriving business renting out caves in China.
How much
can you believe
you get
that?
For a cave in Gosport?
You get in China you can get $60 a month for a cave.
Well, that's not
I've
worth
I've researched it.
Yeah, but you can't claim any caves.
It is in China.
You can't claim caves and say, I'm gonna now rent these out.
Well, I'm not saying that you can, because ruthless people say, you know, I'm bigger than you, and if you want to sleep
but the
in my
is
cave.
That, the problem with China though is it's largely sort of unlawful, isn't it?
Mm.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Yeah, the thing about China, right, is that it's, you know, nobody's really in charge of China.
No.
They don't really care what
you
do.
No, I think they are.
Well, no, the Communist Party's in charge of it, but, you know, on a kind of macro level. But on a micro level, as we like to say in economic circles, it is actually pretty much a free-for-all. You do whatever you like.
No. China is ruled by
the equivalent
communist
of, say,
political system.
No, I know, but the equivalent of, say,
capitalist commercial system.
No, I get that, but the equivalent of, say, Sutton Borough Council doesn't exist. So if you happen to decide to go and claim a couple of caves near the coastline of Macau, and say, right, I'm going to rent these out.
Yeah.
Who's going to stop you?
Nobody.
That's what I'm saying.
It's how big you
are.
It's
a free-for-all.
Yeah, I suppose it is a little bit. Yeah, I suppose it is a little bit.
Well, that's the point.
You want the latest, by the way, on the carjacking situation?
Oh, I haven't asked you about that.
I mean,
how is
that
going?
Out of control.
How is that
going?
Out of control. Have they caught them yet?
Two cases, I think, happened, you know, in the last week and
all
that.
No.
You know?
Excuse me, I'm going to have to correct you here.
I'm telling you, man.
Because the story...
I'm telling you, Jimmy.
I'm telling you. The story, right, that you've been talking about has changed dramatically over the course of weeks that you've started telling the story.
Yes.
All right, and now nobody knows which part of the story they should believe, whether the assailants were bigger than you, smaller than you, whether you were on the floor, whether you were standing up, whether they punched you in the face, whether you punched them in the face, whether they followed you from Kingston, whether they followed you from Carshalton. The guy who had his car stolen or attempted to be stolen in the Tesco car park in Surrey somewhere... talked about these guys approaching you on foot.
That's right.
They didn't have a moped.
Oh, they had?
No.
Moped at the back? How do you think they got there? How do you think they got there and followed him?
Oh, right.
On a stolen moped?
No, he was in a Tesco car park.
Yeah, that's
right. So why would they have to be on a moped?
Because they followed him. They had to get to the...
Rubbish.
...to the car park somehow.
No, well, you could have walked to the car park.
Anyway, I'm not talking to you about that. We were talking about China, right?
Yeah.
There's another issue I want to talk to you about China.
Yeah.
Very, very important. The Chinese authorities are attempting to stop strippers from performing at funerals in rural parts of the country, where they're increasingly being hired to work mourners.
Is this
mourners.
Going to do with the caves or not?
No.
We have moved on from the caves.
To work mourners into a frenzy.
Why do you want mourners in a frenzy?
Well, apparently it helps people get rid of their grief,
really?
Okay?
Well, they just electrocute their ankles.
The Ministry of Culture has set up telephone hotlines, honestly, this is no joke, in the Henan and Hui, Jiangsu and Hebei provinces.
Jingtao.
Jiangsu. And the evening provinces with cash rewards for members of the public who report stripper-related funeral misdeeds. How about that?
What would you call a stripper-related funeral misdeed?
What a ridiculous statement that is. No, awake.
That sounds like something you would have written.
No, awake after the funeral, which involves strippers.
Well, I don't have a problem with strippers at funerals, do you?
Yeah, I've researched this, man. I've got it all for you.
Yeah.
Sounds so bizarre, but it's actually, this is part of the culture of China.
Yeah.
It says, the trend for funeral strippers began in the 1990s,
yes.
and the authorities have since been trying to stop them corrupting the social atmosphere. It evolves from the tradition of hiring performers like opera singers for funerals.
Yeah.
But opera singers became...
To
the people in the rural China, opera singers became too expensive, so they hired strippers instead.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, I think that's fair enough. I don't have a problem with strippers, to be honest. I mean, it's not something I'm particularly into. I don't really go to strip clubs.
Yeah.
I've obviously been to strip clubs in my past.
Yeah.
But sometimes for stories, funnily enough.
Yes.
I told you I had to go and cover the first ever lap dancing club, which opened in Houston. In Texas.
Houston, Texas.
When I was down there covering a story, and they said, oh, while you're down there, why don't you go and do a piece on the Gentleman's Club?
Houston, we have a problem.
And I tell you what, the women in this place were unbelievable.
Yes.
You know, because I'm
unbelievable
seen,
in what way?
Well, just incredible looking.
Yeah, I mean, were they normal women or?
Yeah, what do you mean normal women?
Well, were they plastically enhanced?
Some of them were.
Women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them were.
Well, that's not a normal woman, then, is it?
Well, I don't really care whether they're plastically enhanced. Well, do you care?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Because I think a woman who has.
Well, you've never been with a woman who's had plastic surgery.
Of course I haven't. Stubborn,
really?
Ridiculous. I mean, I think a woman who has tried to improve her bodily form by inserting huge amounts of
silicon
in bags is. Quite revolting to me. Quite revolting.
I think that's absolutely ridiculous to have that attitude.
No.
What about collagen?
Collagen?
Yeah.
Well,
collagen's what they put in their
lips.
I know.
I mean, wasn't that the Bride of Wildenstein?
Bride of Wildenstein.
Thank you. Bride of Wildenstein, who pumped so much collagen into her face and her lips that she couldn't speak in the end.
Did you not see the interview with her the other day where she said, actually, I haven't had any plastic surgery. This is what I've always looked like. She's like, I've always looked a bit like Brigitte Bardot. And she put out all these pictures of her as a young woman. And it's all bollocks, right?
Yeah.
Because she's clearly had lots and lots of work done.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing about this place was that I'd never seen anything like it. Because all I'd really known was, you know, do you remember in the old days in London? You probably do. When I went to FE College, which was in a place called Shoreditch, which is now FE, as in further education.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So it's before university.
You had a bit of further education, did you?
I had plenty, actually.
Nobody
a lot
tell.
More than you fucking did.
Nobody
the
can
point
tell.
Is, right,
yeah.
I left school because I didn't want to do the A-levels that they had prescribed that I should do.
Why, too hard?
No, because I said, look, here's what I want to do. I want to do English, I want to do geography, and I want to do history, I think.
Yes.
And I had to go and meet Father Kenefick, who was the headmaster, who was one of these bloody Dominican brothers, right?
Father Kenefick, did he have a cane when he met you?
Yeah, he did, actually.
They
used to beat us.
Yeah,
I mean, they were really cruel.
Yeah.
And he said, I tell you what, he said, you can't do English, geography and history.
Yeah.
He said, but I've put you down for chemistry, physics, and geography.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I don't want to do those.
Yeah.
He said, well, that's what the timetable says you're going to do.
Yes.
I said, I don't even think I'm going to pass chemistry O-level, so what's the fucking point of that?
Yeah, I hated chemistry,
mate. Do you know, I had to spend about four hours with my son the other day teaching him the bloody periodic table.
The periodic table?
Yeah.
Do you know about that?
Well, because he has to learn the periodic table.
Well, do you know anything about the periodic table?
No, of course
table?
I fucking don't, but I have to teach him it. So I had one sitting in front of me.
Can I tell you?
That
we had a chemistry teacher at the King's School Chester called Mr. Leeson.
As in Nick Leeson?
No, John Leeson, honestly.
But I mean the same name.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, it's better than Mr. Clamp.
John Clamp. So Mr. Leeson, he was the straightest guy in the world.
Yeah.
He was a boring chemistry
teacher.
Did
he wear a white coat?
He did wear a white coat, and the lorry always smelt of, like, you know, broken eggs
always,
and like that, so it's horrible.
We were always letting off the gas taps.
Yeah, well, all that kind of stuff.
As soon as we sat in the lab,
he said, so he showed us this piece of, is it sodium that blows up when you put it in water?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So he said, and he was Welsh, by the way, John Leeson, so he said, now then, boys, I want to show you the danger of sodium.
There's nothing left for me, see?
Yeah, he said, and you must never mix this with water.
Yeah.
You know, so I said, excuse me, Mr. Leeson, why should you never mix it with water? He said, it is a deadly combination.
It's a great idea to tell a lot of teenage boys that, isn't it?
Yeah, he said, in fact, in my recent chemistry journal from the World Society...
Oh, yeah, journals as well, didn't
you? World Society of Chemistry... A lunatic in New York replaced all the bars of soap in a top 5-star hotel with bars of sodium.
Why?
So I started laughing.
Right.
So to kill a load of people.
Why?
So he said, so these people picked up their sodium and it does not burn human flesh,
right.
But the minute they put it in water, it blew the bathrooms apart.
That sounds like a rather good story. Nobody ever heard of it.
I thought it was great. You know, great story.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Anyway, get back to the strippers, by the way. Yeah. I haven't finished the story. The reason why they have strippers at funerals is that they have this great inherent belief.
It cheers everybody up, doesn't it?
No, no, it's better than that.
Yeah.
Inherent belief. One person leaves life, we must bring other persons in. So the whole idea is to get
is
these...
this some kind of fertility thing?
Exactly. You get the strippers in.
So you're supposed to shag them as well, are you?
Well, you're supposed to make people feel like wanting horizontal refreshment by getting them to feel horny during the wake after the funeral. You
I
see what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So everybody is... And the best strippers are paid lots of money because work people in the funeral, and then some of the mourners go off and start humping each other outside of outside of the building where the wake's taking place.
That doesn't sound very respectful to me.
Well, you know, it's apparently,
does this date back to the days of the courtesans?
No. It's only a fairly recent thing since you've been able to put screens up behind the strippers, because while the strippers stripping off and making you feel like, you know, you'd like to indulge in reproductive activity, for want of a better word, they show pictures of the deceased on the screen behind.
Really?
And then it gives you...
Well, so you've got some memories.
No, it gives you the attitude of we must replace this great man or we must replace this great woman.
I don't like the sound of it.
And so they get into the horizontal refreshment,
I mean, initially I would have thought, well, maybe it's such a good idea, but if it's got that kind of ulterior motive, I don't think it's such a it's such a great thing.
How long do you think man has been talking about communication?
What?
How long do you think... man have been
talking?
Well,
you've been fucking talking forever.
No,
you know, how long can I get you to shut up would be the question.
No, honest to God. Another research document from our journals.
Yeah.
Early man learned to speak, this is great. A million years before we previously thought he could speak.
Really?
And
what did he have to say?
And guess who was the first speaker?
I don't know, Cro-Magnon man?
No, believe it or not, it was Homo erectus.
Why is that such a funny word? This is the first guy that walks on his hind legs.
Well, yeah, exactly. That is exactly right. That's exactly right.
That's before...
Some people will take that as a, you know, as a sort of rather rude sort of description of a man, you know.
No, I don't think so.
Homo erectus.
I don't think so.
It sounds like who's the guy who did Up Pompeii? Frankie Howard. Frankie Howard thing, doesn't it? You know.
Yes.
He was
actually quite funny. I used to quite like Frankie Howard.
Yeah, but remember, was it in a Monty Python film when Kenneth Williams said, "If you don't shut up, I will report you to my friend in Rome, Biggus Dickus."
Biggus Dickus, that's right. I think that was in Life of Brian.
Life of Brian.
But I don't think it was Kenneth Williams that was in Life of Brian.
Oh, was it?
I think it was somebody else. I think it might have been Michael Palin.
Okay.
Or one of the Python team.
Anyway, most academics...
By the way, have you seen that John Cleese is now appearing in some supposedly funny...
I've seen the first episode.
Is it any good?
Horrible.
He's been given a lot of shit for it, hasn't he?
I've seen the first episode. Absolutely. I can't even remember the name of the show, but it's got a long-winded title, you know, something about... But
somebody actually wrote a very clever tweet and said, I'm so pleased to see that John Cleese has decided to branch out into another area of entertainment and not do comedy anymore.
Yes, that's
which is quite clever.
Can I tell you, Mike, it was awful.
Was it?
John Cleese is now sold. He sits at a table in the kitchen and he can't... He can't speak expressively with his mouth anymore.
Right.
He speaks through, I would say, a gap of 2 inches where his lips open and close.
Because he's actually got quite a small mouth anyway, isn't he?
That's right.
He's also a miserable sod, isn't he?
Mumbles, miserable sod. And the plot is so ludicrous. What happens is he's trying to get together with a neighbour and they're about the same age and they've decided to, you know...
Well, a female neighbour or
Yeah,
male?
Female neighbour, okay. Merge forces and live there. And then her son turns up, who is a ludicrous figure. He's aged about 45.
Right.
Mummy, I've come back home. My marriage is broken up.
Right.
And
so it's effectively a sitcom, then?
Yes, it's a sitcom. Completely unbelievable.
Rubbish.
And this guy is
Why
not even
these
funny.
Why do people do it? Why does he kind of have to ruin his kind of, you know, his legacy of
Monty
Python, and more importantly, Fawlty Towers, one of the funniest shows ever.
It is ludicrous. It's not funny. The guy who is the son...
Yeah.
Do you remember Line of Duty, which was absolutely fantastic?
Kind of, yeah.
Cop thing, you know? Where it involved a guy who was in the forensics department who got murdered by the woman police inspector.
Yes.
Well, he is the son.
All right.
So the last time we all saw him on TV, he was a top forensic cop
yeah.
who got murdered.
Right.
In this one, he's supposed to be a funny-ish
sort of laughing stock.
Son came home, laughing yeah. stock, got no friends, Billy no mates,
right.
sitting on the couch between...
Can't get a girlfriend.
Between, exactly, between his mum and John Cleese.
Is it BBC thing?
It's BBC. It's awful.
Bloody
I'm
hell.
Not joking. Yeah. It's so bad that I decided to unclick the repeat to get the next episode.
Oh, really?
I can't watch it.
No.
It is
well,
so
I haven't
bad.
Seen it. All I've done is read about
so
it.
So bad.
And it sounds horrendous.
So bad, man. I can't tell you.
But he'll
absolute
probably
shocking.
No doubt say that he has to do it because he has to pay his wife a load more alimony well, or something. Which makes him even more of a plank,
by his last wife, who's called Ellie X something, was it? Or?
Is he the American psychiatrist?
Yeah, woman? The American psychiatrist.
He likes
woman.
American women,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah, it's going to be a Lyda or a Leliac or something. He had to pay £11.6 million.
Yeah, well, he says that, but
what
why
a complete
he?
Oaf.
He didn't have any children with her. And yeah. the idea that you'd have to give her £11 million is a madness.
No idea.
If I had a lawyer like that, I'd fire her.
No
so,
idea.
Sorry, I'm not paying her anything like that. I'll
no
give her
idea.
£1 million
no idea.
And she can fuck off.
It's a terrible story, by the way, knocking around at the moment about a woman who... it's a great story. She lost her husband, who was age 64, and yeah. she's age 57.
Okay.
And they live in a mansion in Cheshire,
oh, yeah.
which is brilliant,
yes.
right? So 2 days after his funeral, she's still, like... On
is, this
the
is this the woman with
the long
driveway?
Yeah,
yeah,
thank
long
you.
Driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So yeah. so 2 days after the funeral, she turns up at a petrol station at 9 a.m.
Right.
in a 76,000 Merc, even
yeah.
better than mine, right?
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Lucky
yeah.
somebody doesn't try
yeah.
to steal it from
yeah.
her.
Well, I'm surprised.
Know.
And she's trying to buy 3 bottles of wine at 9 a.m. from a petrol station.
Has she not heard of Ocado or Sainsbury's?
Well, I've no idea. The guy in the petrol station refuses to serve her.
Yeah.
She says, right, bollocks to you.
Right.
So she goes across
nice
the road.
Place, Cheshire.
To, yeah, to, yeah, that's right. to the post office, right,
right,
which also sells wine.
Yeah.
And she goes in there and they sell her 3 bottles of wine,
yeah.
amazingly. But
right.
then they wouldn't have necessarily known she was in a car.
No.
The guy in the petrol station did because
right.
the car was parked on the forecourt.
He saw
right?
her staggering out of it.
Yeah, he saw her staggering out. The guy at the petrol station then rings the cops
right.
and said, it's quite rightly, but
yeah.
unsafe. She gets done, right. And then, fantastically, oh, she was 4 times over the limit, by the way.
But this is before she drank the other 3 bottles of wine.
Oh, yes, this is
yeah.
4 times over the limit
yeah.
when she has taken in. But the police allowed her to take another breath test half an hour later, and she was only 3 times over the limit.
I see.
She then appears in court,
yeah.
and her lawyer says this is a very sad woman, mourning for her husband, 2.5 days
well,
later.
Well, I mean, you can have some sympathy for her if she's in a bad way.
Well, yeah, but I mean, and the lawyer said... But please don't ban her from driving.
Yeah.
It would really desperately affect her life. And the magistrate said, why? She said, well, she lives in a £6 million house.
Right.
And the driveway from the house to the main road is 1/4 mile long.
Yeah.
And she's 57 years of age. And she can't walk it.
Presumably she can walk. she can drive on the driveway. Because that's
well,
not
funny
actually
enough,
the public highway.
Funny
it?
Enough, it was found out later, she can actually drive on her own private
yeah.
land. So she could drive the car to the gates
to
and
the
then
gates.
Get a taxi to meet her there. You
well,
see what I mean?
I mean, she doesn't have
yeah.
to do that. Why don't you
yeah.
just get a taxi to pick her up?
I don't know. No
I mean,
idea.
Why do these people with all this money?
No
it's
always
the same in the house of footballers,
yeah.
rugby players,
yeah.
you know, big
yeah.
stars on television.
Yeah.
What on earth are they thinking?
And
they could easily have
yes.
for about £40,000 a year, which has cost them nothing.
That's right.
A chauffeur.
That's right.
For every single time.
And the other issue that the solicitor in court put up to her, this is Stockport Magistrates Court,
yeah.
by the way, great
okay.
part of the world.
I'm sure you know that
said,
very well.
You know, it would be very unfortunate to sentence her to community work as this lady has never worked a day in her life.
Really?
Yes, and would find it very difficult to immerse herself into any sort of working environment
yeah.
because she's never done it.
Yeah.
What kind of a life has this woman had?
Well, I mean, I can understand people who haven't worked all their life. I mean,
yeah.
why do you think there are not people like that around?
Well, I just...
I mean, there's
remarkable.
Loads of people up in Chester who've never worked all their life. They might not have a £6 million house.
Yeah.
They're just unemployed. They've just never had a job.
Yeah, that's very nice. And why do you pick on Chester?
Well, because we're talking about Cheshire.
Why not pick on the scumbag places you've lived
well,
in?
Well, like Hampstead.
Yeah.
There's not
yeah.
many unemployed people
yeah.
there,
yeah.
mate.
What about
Bath? Well,
around
right?
in Wiltshire.
No,
in
Wiltshire. Trowbridge. Trowbridge was a bit of a
yeah,
shithole, but I didn't live there.
All these fucking peasants
no,
in Wiltshire, you
no,
know.
Correct.
Who
no,
used to be farm
nice
workers
part.
And now
no,
are not.
I lived in a very nice part of Wiltshire.
Yeah,
we'll
nice part
you
of
know.
Wiltshire.
Very nice part
oh,
of Wiltshire.
Oh, the nice part of Wiltshire. Yeah, but there's still scumbags around.
No, there are. They're
Wiltshire's all right for the rich, but for the peasants
no,
that the rich
no.
employ, it's a nightmarish
no,
hell.
No, they're all in Trowbridge.
Nightmarish hell.
I can tell you that. Do you know, when my daughter was growing up there, she had a friend whose dad was a farmer.
Oh, yeah.
And she came back from visiting her one weekend and said... Do you know that this woman it was called Rachel? Do you know that Rachel's dad has guns? And I said, really? No, I didn't know that.
Well, he probably said, shoots pigeons.
Well, I think he shot all sorts of things. But,
yeah.
you know, he had a gun cabinet.
Yeah.
And, of course, Rachel being... And they were only about 10 at this point,
yeah.
right? And Rachel, of course, said to Emma, oh, would you like to see my dad's guns? And she went, yeah, all right then.
Yeah.
And so, of course, she knew where the key was. You know how people always say,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, don't worry. You know, we'd lock our guns away.
So a double-barrelled shotgun so came out of the cabinet.
She opens the bloody cabinet, takes all these guns out.
What?
And they're playing with them. And I said, you're never going back there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I never let her go back after
that. No, I don't blame you.
But, I mean, that's the kind of thing that happens in the country.
You weren't loaded.
Well, I hope not. I don't know. But, exactly. I mean, can you imagine the fucking nightmare scenario?
Mm.
Anyway, we come to the end of another sparkling On The Record podcast
very
already.
Informative, I thought, today.
I think it's very full of, of information, that one. Yeah. I'll see you next week.
Okay. Now then, boys,
right.
I want to show you the danger of sodium.
There's nothing left for me, see?
Yeah, he said, and you must never mix this with water. Yeah. You know, so so I said, oh, excuse me, Mr. Leeson, why should you never mix it with water? He said, it is a deadly combination.
It's a great idea to tell a lot of teenage boys that.
Yeah, he said, in fact, in my recent chemistry journal from the World Society...
Oh, yeah, journals as well,
World Society of Chemistry... A lunatic in New York replaced all the bars of soap in a top 5-star hotel with bars of soap.
Why?
So I started laughing.
Right.
So to kill a load of people.
Why?
So he said, so these people picked up their sodium and it does not burn human flesh,
right.
But the minute they put it in water, it blew the bathrooms apart.
That sounds like a rather good
funny
story. Nobody ever heard of it.
I thought it was great. You know, great story. Why do you pick on Chester?
Well, because we're talking about Chester.
Why not pick on the scumbag places you've lived in?
Well, like Hampstead.
Yeah.
There's not many unemployed people there, mate.
What about Bath?
Well,
around in Wiltshire.
No, Wiltshire. Trowbridge was a bit of a shithole, but I didn't live there.
All these fucking peasants in Wiltshire, you know.
No, correct.
Who used to be farm workers and now are not.
I lived in a very nice part of Wiltshire. Very nice part of Wiltshire.
Yeah, but there's still scumbags around.
No, there are.
Wiltshire's all right for the rich, but for the peasants that the rich employ... It's a nightmarish hell.
No, they're all in Trowbridge.
Nightmarish hell.
I can tell you that.
What you do is now, you actually, the lady you're with, you electrocute her.
What?
You
that doesn't sound like a good idea.
No, you do.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.